thank you guys for joining us here as we celebrate the great arrival of God in the birth of Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed, I'm sure you have, that singing is a big part of Christmas. Like every year, song has made it into the culture, the tapestry of this time of year. It's everywhere. And would we even know what carolers are if we didn't have Christmas? That's when we call singers carolers. And carolers will make special trips in the freezing cold just to carol, just to sing at this time of year. They won't miss it. Schools have special programs of song. We had one here during our holiday happening event, which is awesome. One Christmas, Doyle told me he saw a trailer being pulled. A whole trailer was being pulled, and on the back of the trailer was a choir. There was a choir, because singing is such a part of this season. There's something about this season of Christmas, that fills our hearts in a way that for some reason forces it out through song. It's just a universally understood thing in our culture, in our practice. And it makes sense, it happened around the first Christmas as well. If you think of some of the little details that have become familiar even in wider culture, but especially in Christianity, the events that surrounded Jesus' birth and the proclamation that he was going to be born. Remember the angel went out to the shepherds out on the hillside outside of Bethlehem and announced that this great day had happened. And then it says a great company joined that angel. I just wonder what it looked like. And they worshiped, they praised. Singing was a part of that announcement. The Magi, this mysterious group of guys that came over from the far east. We don't even know where. They're just kind of a little bit mystical in the story and in the Bible. But they came a long way. And when they get to Herod, King Herod, and they say they are looking for Jesus. Why? They tell us why they made the long trip. It was to worship him. That's what they were coming to do. When Mary is told that she is miraculously pregnant with this Jesus, and we don't spend enough time thinking about her experience of getting that news, right? If it wasn't told to her in the demonstrative way that it was with an angel showing up, who knows if she could even believe it? But I imagine it was hard anyway. It was difficult anyway. And her first trip after that news was to Elizabeth, okay, her cousin who was pregnant with a miraculous child as well, way into her old age. So maybe she thought if there's anyone that would believe this crazy story, it's Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, when she shows up with Jesus in her womb, John, who's Jesus' cousin and is going to be this forerunner, leaps in the womb of Jesus. What was that? Was that a song trying to come out already? You know, he's affecting, he's compelling praise, he's compelling awe and worship. And of course, the most famous song in the Christian narrative, really, but especially at Christmas, is the Song of Mary. And it was after she told Elizabeth, and it's in Luke, it's just a short little song. And I imagine when I look at the contents of this song that this was one part her just finally getting some social confirmation. Someone believed her in the flesh, you know, Elizabeth. Someone believed her. And so she allowed herself to be excited about just the awesomeness of this. It was one part that emotional expression, but it was also saturated. Her song is saturated with songs of Israel, with statements and scriptures from Israel, because she knew she was in this larger story. And so let me just read it to you. It's not very long. She said this: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So today I want us to just thank you for coming here, and I want us to just sing along with Mary, kind of in some of the themes that she sang with on that first Christmas. This song is known as the Magnificat, an amazing, potent word for a song. The Magnificat comes from the Latin version of this song. The first word in it is magnify. And we, my version said glorify, but it's the same word. It comes from a Greek word, megas, mega, which means to make huge. Her heart made huge. God, because of the news that she had. So let's make God huge tonight. Let's try to make too big a deal about what happened that night at Christmas. Help but notice when you examine Mary's song that the massive gift that Jesus is to the world, as it's represented there. She sees that. She sees that this is connected to a larger audience and to a larger story, both in space and in time. She speaks of all generations. She speaks of his mercy extending to all who fear him. She speaks of his love flowing from generation to generation. So it spans time. She recalls the mighty deeds of God throughout history, and that this next mighty deed of God, growing in her belly now, that it is massive, and that God is remembering Abraham and all of his descendants that have existed up to that time, and all of them that will exist, that are considered his descendants, even if they're grafted in or adopted in for all time. The news she received and that we celebrate is and was big enough for the whole world. It's for the whole world. But I want you to notice tonight another part of her song. That while Jesus is coming is big enough to include everyone, it is also personal enough for her to sing of how it's just for her. That it's special, that it's generic and universal enough for the whole world, but it's specific and intimate enough to be for her. Notice how she starts her song. For he has been mindful of the humble state of me. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for the world. Not right here, not yet. For me. For me. And we see that word me, 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 and we're trained to think that that's selfish or self-centered. That is not what Mary's being here. She is just amazed that the God she has devoutly worshipped all of her life knows her name, recognizes her, that he loves not just them as the chosen people, but her. Mary grew up with knowing of this great God, of her father Abraham, who Abraham was a larger than life character enough, and he's just a man, let alone the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She knew there's a chosen people through whom the whole world would be blessed, and that she was one member of that group. But it's not just the story when Jesus comes along. Now for Mary, of God being faithful to the chosen people and to the world, but to her, that it includes her by name. So have you considered that? That what we celebrate here, it is enough for the whole world to pause and stop and celebrate. It is inclusive enough, and it is grand enough and powerful enough. There is enough to go around for the whole world. But the Bible says it's for you too. So for this next little bit of singing, that's what I want us to join Mary in singing. That it's about you. He knows you. He fights for you. He has compassion for you and what you're dealing with right now. He's on your side. He loves you. Paul says to each one of us, yes, it's to all of us, but it's also to each one of us grace has been given. Peter says the promise is for you. God's favor is universally powerful enough to be offered to the whole world. But it's also just for you. Just for you. Let's sing. So toward the end of her song, she's celebrating the gift this is to the world. She's celebrating the lifting up of her, that she matters to God. The message is powerful and it's awesome and it's filling her with joy to the point of this expression of song. But towards the end, what she sings about is another category that's embedded in this song that really triggers the joy, that without this element, it's all for naught. It's not real. It's a mirage. And that is God's faithfulness. See, God, our God is a God that makes and keeps promises. You sung about them several times. I've noticed because I knew this was coming, but you've sung about the promises of God. That so much of what we have, the life that we carry around with us, it's not based on external things. It can't be, can it? There's something else, and it's this God's faithfulness. And you see it reflected there at the end when she says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. Why is he not just being merciful? Because it was a promise she's recalling. And he remembers to be merciful to Abraham, long time gone, to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said. He is a God that speaks, and he speaks promises. And when he says it, it is reliable. And that's what Jesus coming proved for them in that time. And that's what we need to hang our hat on. The basis of your joy, if you have joy, I don't know another way to have it. It is not on our circumstances. They are unreliable. It is on the word of God. His word matters. He makes promises. He keeps them. And we see this all through the story of Scripture. Back in the Psalms, it says, then they believed, what? His promises. Promises haven't happened yet, and yet still they sang his praise. It triggered worship. It triggered this singing because his promises may as well have happened. It's that for sure. Peter says, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Promises that hadn't happened yet. He's given us, though, his promises so that by these, what? The actual happenings? No. The promise, you might be partakers of the divine nature. You participate. You experience God when you believe him. And it proves itself to you. Through that experience of the divine nature, it takes faith, it takes trust. Paul celebrates this when he says, no matter how many promises this God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ. That's the importance of Christ. That's why we celebrate his birthday. That's why the whole world does. Whether they know it or not, that's what triggered all of this celebration. And God has promised through Jesus to love you, to forgive you, to redeem you in every way that you need. And in every way that a human being can be, he promises to save you. God has promised it, and he remembers his promises. And he calls us, Mary's song calls us, to remember that God remembers his promises. Let's sing. So you can pull out those candles here in a moment. We're going to do something that's traditional. You maybe you've partaken in this before, but we're going to do it here tonight. In a moment, the lights are going to go down, and the darkness will descend. And all we'll have is this one little light right here, and just this one. And I'm going to share it, and then I'm going to ask you to share it. And then this one little light's going to move throughout the room, and without anyone trying at all, the darkness is going to be less. The darkness, said another way, it's going to retreat. The darkness doesn't have to do a thing. We are not dependent on the darkness for it to stop. We don't need it to stop. Do your worst. Because we have light. We have light, and that's Christmas. When God entered into the world, he didn't shout, he didn't come with a bullhorn. He could have, but he didn't come with an army to overwhelm and take over. That's not how he did it. He didn't do it forcefully like that. He entered quietly, small and humble, in the form of a baby. So maybe not quietly, but gentle and humble and with a message. And then that baby grew, and then that message grew, and then that message spread like light tonight. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So when your candle's lit tonight, notice that nothing is taken from the flame that shared it with you. And when you share it, nothing will be taken from yours. That's how Jesus works. Light isn't used up. It's just can be shared. It can be shared like Christ. And that's the invitation of Christmas, for you to receive the light of Christ and then carry it into a world of darkness that so desperately needs it, that needs what Jesus brings, hope and peace. I don't know one human being that doesn't need hope and peace and joy and love. And that's why God became a man, to intersect with us at the point of our humanity and to deliver to us what we need and what we want. So let this moment not just be this exercise that maybe you've done before. It's fun and it's neat. A little risky having fire inside. But let it also be a calling to receive the light of Jesus and to share it. Okay, as we sing one more song about that awesome night of light.